Hey there. You're listening to the Unleashed podcast hosted by Pastor Todd Bishop. We're glad you're here. Make sure you subscribe to receive a new podcast at the beginning of each month. And if you love the content, share it. Enjoy today's episode as we unleash the leader in you.
Well, hello. Happy September 2021. So glad you guys can join us on this next episode of Leadership Unleashed. I'm your host, Todd Bishop, and I'm really glad to have you join us today, listening from wherever you're listening from. And you could be listening from a multiple number of places, and you could be listening to a multiple number of things, but you are listening to this podcast on leadership today, which means you want to unleash the leader that is in yourself. Well, today's subject is one that I think is so pivotal and critical to every leader. And I think it's one that's often overlooked. In fact, I think we allow the word grace to keep us from really recognizing this leadership principle that we're going to talk about today, because we're always like, man, just give everyone the benefit of the doubt. And I believe in that. I truly do. But I also believe that there are some red flag relationships that we ought to avoid, or we ought to run in the opposite direction from. And I know there's a ton of them. We're going to talk about 8 red flag relationship. So, hey, if this content's good for you, make sure you share it. Make sure you let somebody else know about it. Make sure you message me. Put this on your IG story or your Facebook story, and let's spread the word about the Leadership Unleashed podcast as we talk about red flag leaderships. Now, let me start with this. I am not an expert in this category because I blow it all the time. I allow grace or flexibility, or they're just quirky, to allow people to kind of steamroll me or to run over me instead of saying, wait, there's some red flags. And so when I do pre-marriage counseling, a lot of times what ends up happening is, they'll talk about previous relationships and they'll say, well, this person just wasn't for me. I said, well, did you notice any red flags? They'll always say yes. If I talk to someone who's going through divorce, I'll say, did you notice any red flags? They always say yes, but I thought it would get better. The challenge with red flags is the red flag is like the ultimate warning. So think about it this way. There's a stoplight. A stoplight has green, yellow, and red. Let me ask you a question. Does a yellow light, the caution light, ever go to green? No, if it's running properly, the stoplight will always go from yellow to red. In other words, if there's a slight warning, it should be red. And so I'm talking about red flag relationships. So here we go. Red flag relationship number one. Write this down. Put it in your notes. Write it down. The one-sided relationship. This is the person who it's always about them. It's like there's no give, there's no take. It's always take, 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 take. And I love this quote. It says this. This was by Ken Wayne. It says this. A friend is someone who is there for you when they'd rather be anywhere else. How powerful is that? I mean, that's a real friend. That's someone who is there for you. How many people today have friends like that? And I know this, one-sided relationships are always de-energizing. They will suck the life out of you. And so you've got to be so cautious. How do you recognize when someone is a one-sided relationship or friend? It's pretty simple, in my opinion. Listen to their language. Listen to what they're talking about. Have you ever had that moment where you're telling someone, you're pouring out your heart to someone, and you say, this is what I'm going through. Well, and their response always, well, I was there. And next thing you know, they're re-grieving their painful relationship loss or their difficulty, and they're no longer listening to yours. That is the one-sided red flag relationship. There's also this one. This is an interesting one. It's the over-gift relationship. This is the person who wants to compensate and get close to you, so they over-gift you. They buy you things. They give you things. They donate things to you. High value gifts are often about control, and we got to be so cautious with that, especially when it comes to you as a leader and people giving directly to you. Be aware, most high value gifts come with strings. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care. If it's got your name on it, it's your check. Listen, somebody can write you a check and it's a big dollar amount. And I've been fortunate enough to have some of those over 26 years of pastoring. And I got to tell you, the ones I receive are those who I know this is not an overgifter, someone who's trying to buy my leadership or buy their way into my circle. Anyone who wants to buy their way into your circle, you ought to move out of your circle really quick. The Bible says this in Proverbs 19:6, everyone is a friend to a person who gives gifts. Now, obviously that's said in the positive, but the reality is when people are always gifting you, what they're trying to do is get your friendship. So be very, very cautious of who has your time, who has your ear, and who's dropping resources into you. So watch the red flag relationship of the one-sided, the red flag relationship of the over-gifter, and then you have to watch the red flag relationship of the always urgent. This is the person that will text you, I need to speak to you right now. And you call them thinking it's an emergency. So I just had to ask you a question about, and you're like, this could have waited. This could have, but they're trying to suck you in. I heard this quote years ago, a lack of planning on your part does not constitute an emergency on my part. Watch out for the people who always need you. They always have to have you. If they always have to have you, it's an unhealthy red flag relationship. I know this is true as our organization, our church has grown. I don't do everything I once did. I don't do many weddings. I don't do many funerals. I stick my focus to Sundays, vision, the financial direction of the church, all that stuff alongside my wife. And I got to tell you, there are people that are, but I need you to do it. And I'm like, well, I don't do that anymore. I pay someone else to do that, but you have to do it. That's always unhealthy. And I've seen this over 26 years of leadership where there's a lot of unhealthy people. And you know what ends up happening? The people that always need us, we actually sometimes start feeling too good about it. We're like, man, you see, I'm needed, I'm valued, I'm loved, but you don't understand. It's a red flag. It's a red flag. So if someone always needs you and you can't drop some of those things onto someone else, you should be aware. It's a red flag relationship. So the one-sided relationship, the over-gift relationship, the always urgent relationship, and then there's this one. Number four, the confrontation avoiders. Oh my goodness. Now, I don't love confrontation, but I'm not going to avoid it. If there's something we need to talk about, if there's something we need to address, if there's something we need to work through, you better believe it. I'm going to work through that. I'm going to have that discussion with someone. Because my role matters and my voice matters. But I have such a problem with those who will tell everybody else about what you're doing wrong as a leader, but they don't have the courage to come to you. Proverbs 27:6 says this, wounds from a sincere friend are better than the many kisses from an enemy. Oh my goodness, what a great verse. I mean, that ought to be a leader's motto. Wounds from a sincere friend, notice sincere friend, are better than many kisses from an enemy. There's going to be people that are going to kiss. They're going to suck up to you. They're going to kiss up to you. They're going to brown nose on you only because they don't want to deal with the issue. And those who don't deal with the issue actually are the issue. Let me say it again. Those who don't deal with the issue are the issue. People that don't like tough conversations will never, ever have true tested friendships. Think about that. People that don't like tough conversations will never have true tested friendships. I mean, I know for my wife and I, we sometimes have to have hard conversations. They're difficult. Now, my wife and I don't scream at each other. We don't yell at each other. We've been married 20 years this month, September 3rd, 2021. It's been 20 years. It's been a blessing to her, I'm sure. Actually, it's been more of a blessing to me. We don't avoid confrontation. Now, we used to, in the beginning of our marriage, We just didn't know how to communicate, and we had to learn how to communicate. And if you don't know how to communicate, the best way to learn how to communicate is to start communicating, to try, to attempt, and to figure it out. Because if you can't communicate, you really can't lead. I mean, some of the greatest leaders I know are the greatest communicators I know. And great communicators never avoid confrontation. They don't love it. They don't look for it. They don't live for it, but they definitely will not avoid it. So watch out for the red flag relationship of the one-sided. Watch out for the red flag relationship of the overgifter. Watch out for the red flag relationship of the always urgent. And then watch out for the red flag of the confrontation avoiders. Now, our next red flag, y'all deal with as leaders. I know I do. It's the complaint addicts. They are addicted to complaining. They complain about everything and everybody except themselves. They complain about every organization, every decision, everything you do in our church context. They'll complain about the lights. They'll complain you have no cross in the building. They'll complain all this stuff. Well, Jesus didn't tell us to put up a cross. He told us to carry a cross. So at some point, people take their personal opinions and they put it on you as a leader. Those are complaint addicts. They're always addicted to complaining. And here's what I've discovered. Complaining originates in the heart of unhappy people. Complaining originates in the heart of unhappy people. When someone's always complaining about you or your leadership, your church, your business, your organization, what they're really screaming is, I don't like mine, so I'm going to complain about yours. And you always have to ask this question when someone complains. Now, I don't know. I know there's leaders that listen from all over the country, but I know you never have this problem. You know, when someone comes and complains to you, they always come with a solution. Never. They just complain. They usually don't come with a solution. And real leaders don't create problems. They find solutions. They don't communicate always about problems. They find solutions. So you always have to ask this question to the red flag relationship of complaint addicts. You have to ask this: what have you done to help? That's a big question, isn't it? You need to pivot right back to them and say, what have you done to help? I mean, is there anything you can do to help? What have you tried to help? In my context in church, here's what we'll always hear about complaint. They'll always say this: my church did it that way. I'm like, wait, your church? I thought this was your church. Well, my old church did it this way. Oh my goodness. Well, what did you do to help there? You didn't help. You ran. You ran from that church. You ran from that commitment. Now, there's sometimes you got to leave a church because, you know, sometimes you're ungrowing or not growing in a place where you could grow somewhere else. I get that. But I'm talking about the people that complain because it wasn't perfect. They'll come to your church, they'll complain, and you'll think, man, I'm the greatest. They love our church. 6 months later, they're not going to love your church. They're going to be complaining about you too, or your business. Your employees are going to be complaining about you as a boss. Oh, I love you. You're the best boss on the planet. Until you make a decision they don't like, then they complain, complain, complain. Here's a motto we say in our family all the time. My wife and I, Mary, remind our kids often, when you complain, you remain. When you complain, you remain. Watch out for the red flag relationships of complaint addicts. Okay, here's one of my favorites. I love dealing with these people because I throw some shade in their direction. The red flag relationship of the soap operas. I mean, these are the people who are the drama kings and drama queens. They create drama where there is no drama. And drama causes trauma. It always does. Drama causes trauma. Drama kings and drama queens will always leave a trail of drama behind them every single time. I mean, you think at some point people that that have drama in their life would recognize there's a reason why no one sticks with them. It's because they're too much filled with drama, and people run from drama. See, the wrong mood in a room or the drama that someone brings into a room, a staff member that's moody walks into a staff meeting and can destroy the mood in that room. They truly can. You got to own that. I mean, the Bible says this in Galatians 5:15. Beware of destroying one another. And I'll tell you, the soap opera people know how to destroy each other. They know how to create drama. They know how to create trauma. They know how to manipulate the story and the details because they're part of a soap opera. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know if you ever watched daytime drama, but it used to be called soap operas. And it was typically the same story played on three different channels, different characters, but the story's the same. This person is cheating on this person. This person's having financial problems, blah, blah, blah. And it was that cycle over and over and over and over again. My mother used to watch, I don't remember the name of the show, but she used to watch when she had a day off, which wasn't much. She would watch Susan Lucci. And she was one of the major soap opera queens, and she would watch that, and she literally, you know what I'm saying, like, would get stuck in that drama. Man, I don't want to watch drama. And if I don't want to watch drama, I'm not going to live drama. And I'm not going to allow drama-filled people around my life. Beware of destroying one another, and drama causes trauma. So what do you do with people that are dramatic? People that make you feel like you're walking on eggshells. If you're an employer, you try and work with them. You try and help them. You try and help them discover, because you're not going to avoid that conversation. If they don't adjust and don't change, if you don't remove them from your organization, your church, your business, they will actually infect the rest of your team. And I've had to do this personally. It was not easy. It was challenging and it was difficult, but I'm not going to walk on eggshells with people as a leader. In fact, if I have to walk on eggshells with people, that means I'm not really the leader. So, all right, red flag relationships, the one-sided relationship, the over-gifter relationship, the always urgent relationship, the confrontation avoider relationship, the complaint addict relationship, and the soap opera relationship. And then there is number seven. The scorekeeper relationship. Oh my goodness. This is the person that has to remind you all the time what they've done for you. I mean, it's like, remember that old song? What have you done for me lately? Bum, ba-dum, bum. They're always reminding, what have you done for me lately? Look at what I've done for you. Look at what they're reminding. Listen, they're keeping score of every conversation. They're keeping score of every decision. They're keeping score of every moment. Here's what I believe. Your only competition is who you were yesterday. Your only competition is who you were yesterday. So you can't keep score with people. The Bible says this: love keeps no record when it's been wronged. Love keeps no record when it's been wronged. So the scorekeeper relationship is actually doing what they do for you to earn points so they can use it against you later. And every leader needs to realize this. This red flag relationship of the scorekeeper in church context will be the person who tells you, but I tithe, Pastor. I can tell you this. I had somebody in our church many years ago, and they literally were upset, one of our staff members. They came to me and said, you need to fire that staff member. I said, I'm not going to fire that staff member over that. It was not a big deal. And here's what their response. Well, I'm taking my tithe and I'm leaving. And I said, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. If that's your attitude, I don't need you here, because you don't tithe to make your pastor happy. You don't tithe in church context to make your church. You tithe to make Jesus happy, because it's what he asks us to do. I mean, show the door to anyone who keeps score. Oh, I need to say that again for some leader. Show the door to anyone who's keeping score. If people are keeping score, you don't want them on your team. You don't want them in your circle. It is truly a red flag relationship. And then finally, there's the red flag relationship of the promise breaker. The promise breaker. We ought to be, as leaders, promise keepers. If someone's constantly breaking promises, constantly going back on the word, constantly doing exactly the opposite of what they said they would do, honestly, that's a red flag, because there's no integrity there. There's no character there. And so you want to be able to guard yourself from red flag relationships. When Walter Winchell said this: a real friend walks in when the whole world walks out. When everything's difficult, when things are challenging, Real friends stick it out. They keep their promise. So I always say this, I'm friends for life. And when people walk into our church or they come into our family, you're stuck with me. And there's been times I've had people stab me in the back and I'll still try and reach out. Now, I can't do that with everyone because sometimes they're not stabbing you in the back. They're like throwing a grenade in your back. And you got to be careful of those toxic conversations. But the reality is for all of us, we've got to be able to make sure that what we're doing, what we're saying, what we're spraying is promise filled, not promises broken. And so there's way too many people out there that break their promises. If someone's a promise breaker, they are a cultural wrecker. Culture wrecker. If someone's a promise breaker, they are a culture wrecker. So for us, we have this value at our church. Mediocre is unacceptable. We want to avoid the mediocre. And so if someone doesn't keep that promise to do things with excellence, they're actually destroying the culture of our organization. So here it is. Red flag relationship. Watch out for the promise breaker because the promise breaker is the culture wrecker. So you got to be really, really careful. So here's those eight flag relationships again. The one-sided relationship, number one, red flag. Number two, the overgifter. Number three, the always urgent. Number four, the confrontation avoider. Number five, the complaint addict. Oh my goodness, I could talk about that even more. Number six, the soap opera. Number seven, the scorekeeper relationship. And number eight, the promise breaker. Listen to what the scripture says in Proverbs 12:26. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked lead them astray. If your friends are not chosen carefully, my mother taught me this growing up. Do not let your friends choose you. You choose your friends. Notice what it says. The righteous choose their friends carefully. You don't just let anybody walk into your life. You don't let just anybody walk into relationship with you. You have to be extremely cautious. Proverbs 12:26. Put it somewhere. Put it on your wall in your office. Print it out. Put it really big. The righteous choose their friends carefully. Not haphazardly, but carefully. And I believe if you protect yourself from these eight red flag relationships, God will unleash the leader on the inside of you. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked will lead them astray. Hey, protect yourself, protect your leadership, and protect your circle by guarding yourself against the red flag relationships. I hope you enjoyed today's teaching, and I can't wait to drop some more nuggets of truth on you at Leadership Unleashed next month.
How good was that? Again, thank you for joining us today. Just a few reminders as we wrap up. Make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you could do us a favor, please share this episode and leave a review if it was helpful. Stay in touch by following Pastor Todd Bishop on social media, and don't be a stranger. Continue to unleash the leader in you.